I'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Well, Christians are referred to in Hebrews 4 as the people of God. And the text that Harrison just read from 1 Peter chapter 2 calls us a people for God's own possession. We are indeed the people of God. And in a very special sense, we are the Lord's people because he has bought us and we belong to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So being the people of God is indeed a privilege, but it also carries with it some responsibilities. And I want us to consider four of those responsibilities here this morning. Number one, we are to be a people of purpose. As God's people, we have a noble purpose in this life. Our primary mission does not have to do with pleasures and treasures. Listen to how Solomon concluded his masterful work that we call Ecclesiastes. This is chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Solomon had experimented with pleasures, with possessions, with pursuits. But here is his conclusion. Fear God. That's the point of departure. Keep his commandments. That's the path. Fear God. To fear God means to be struck with awe in his all-consuming holy presence, and to stand always and forever in breathless exaltation of who he is and what he has done and how vastly and infinitely his greatness overshadows our brief, vaporous existence. Oswald Chambers put it this way: the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Keep his commandments. It is the only way. Find out what God wants done and go do it, regardless of the cost. Another verse that speaks directly to our purpose, and we have sung about that here this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus revealed for us the need for setting proper priorities. Putting first things last and last things first is far too easy and frequent. So consider four particulars that will aid us in putting first things first. Obligation. Jesus said, seek. Jesus is issuing a command, not an option. Seeking requires diligent effort on our part. The objects, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The top priorities in a Christian's life are the kingdom or the church and his righteousness, which is revealed to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Order first. The emphasis is that the church that belongs to Christ must never take a back seat. In all we do, we must seek to put first things in our mind, our heart, our soul, and our strength. The concept of seeking first things for God is a predominant biblical concept that touches one's motivation and priorities. And this would include how one spends their leisure time, the goals that one sets in his or her life, and whether or not they are continually seeking or trying to have spiritual renewal. And then the outcome, Jesus says, all these things will be added to you. And I think that statement shows us the blessings that will result if our priorities are right. What an awesome promise. I read one time of an old recipe for rabbit. It started out with this injunction: first, catch the rabbit. Well, that's putting first things first. So number one, God's people are people of purpose. But number two, we are to be people of purity. As the people of God, we have the awesome responsibility of living pure lives. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, keep yourselves free from sin. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, through the cross, God has purchased us. And as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are no longer our own. God now calls the shots. We do not allow the culture to tell us what we believe about sexual and ethical purity. We do not allow our peers to tell us what we believe about sexual and ethical issues, because God is in charge. The Bible is our standard, and Jesus, of course, is our pattern. And so the challenge for all of us is to live lives of purity. But number three, we are to be a people of prayer. It is imperative that the people of God be a people of prayer. We are taught to continue in prayer and to be dependent upon prayer. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly, some translations render that. In Colossians chapter 4, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. In prayer, number one, we honor God. Jesus begins what we call the model prayer, our Father, or pray that in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is God's priority. We give priority to his holy and reverend name. Hallowed be your name. We ask petitions. Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Those verbs there in the Greek are in the imperative, and they suggest you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking. This is something that we give diligent effort to in terms of our asking and seeking and knocking. But also we offer thanks. Philippians 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I don't know about you, but that's one of the more challenging verses to me in the New Testament. be anxious for nothing. Wow. But perhaps the simple thing, and I don't want to simplify it too much, but it seems like what Paul is saying, I don't want you to be anxious about anything, but on the other hand, I want you to pray about everything. And so maybe that is the way that we can try to get some kind of control on that anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, but take everything to God in prayer. But you also pray with thanksgiving in your heart, and we let our requests be made known to God. And then we also make confession of sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the importance of confessing our sins, but knowing that God is faithful and He's righteous, and He will indeed forgive us our sins, and He will indeed cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are not all of these vital to our spiritual lives? Honoring God, asking petitions, offering thanks, confession of our sins. There are so many areas of concern in our lives that demand prayer. And so I think certainly the people of God are people who depend upon God in prayer. And then number four, we are to be people of power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Paul concludes his prayer there in Ephesians chapter 3. Well, it's near the end of the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Our God is able. But He's able, Paul says, to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. But it is according to the power that works within us. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, as Paul is about to describe what we call the Christian armor, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It takes power for us to endure. We must overcome discouragement at times, and maybe even persecution. But we must not grow weary. We must say no to sin. So how are we doing as the people of God? Do we know our purpose? Again, I believe Solomon kind of summarized it there by just telling us, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And I believe I would summarize our purpose that we are here to glorify God. We were created to bring God's glory. And we have those verses that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all to the glory of God. That's our purpose. That's why we are here. Are we living pure and holy lives? The call to purity is an important call for God's people. Are we availing ourselves of the wonderful privilege of prayer? Is prayer our steering wheel? Or is it just our spare tire? Are we availing ourselves of that wonderful privilege of prayer? And then have we come to truly appreciate the power that is at our disposal? Paul reminds us that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is that power that is available to those of us who believe. Now that is some power. And that's available to us. And we need to rely upon that in our times of need, in times of suffering, in times of persecution, when we're going through some of those difficult periods of our life. That power of God is available to see us through. As the old saying goes, if God brings you to it, He will see you through it. And I believe that because of that power that is available to us who believe. Does anyone here today need to make a decision for Christ? Is there anyone here today who needs to come and say, I want to become a child of God? That I'm prepared to confess my faith in Him. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. I'm going to be raised up to begin walking in newness of life, to become a son or daughter of God, God adding you to His spiritual family, the church. If there's anyone here today who needs to make that most important decision, I pray that you will respond as we sing our song. But we also have a time when people can come if you desire the prayers of the congregation. We're here to pray with you, to pray for you. In some ways, we are just a bunch of fellow strugglers. We all have our struggles. And sometimes it just helps if you are really struggling in some ways to come and say, I need the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me get through this particular situation. Because we're here for you. And again, God wants us to be together, to accept each other, to encourage each other, to help each other. And that's one of the ways that we do that when we pray for one another. So if we can help anyone today in any way, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing?